Bloomberg Law, on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app, free for iPhone and Android devices.
Welcome to Bloomberg Law for this Wednesday, May 6th. I'm June Grosso with Michael Best. Two boxing fans are looking to score a knockout punch with a lawsuit against boxer Manny Pacquiao. They allege that everyone who bought a ticket, paid to watch on television, or bet on Pacquiao's heavily promoted bout with Floyd Mayweather was ripped off. Right after the fight, Pacquiao said he'd been suffering from a shoulder injury for weeks.
3 weeks before the fight, I skipped my training a couple days.
Pay-per-view customers are also suing Comcast, HBO, Showtime, and DirecTV for the same reason. That's straight ahead on Bloomberg Law.
Bloomberg Law is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. June?
Thanks, Michael. Our guests are one of the country's most distinguished legal scholars, University Professor Arthur Miller of NYU Law School. He's also the dean of the NYU Sports Institute. And I'm not pulling any punches here, Arthur, my favorite law professor in law school or out.
You're just saying that. Jim.
No. You know it's true. And Jeff Ifra, he's founding partner at Ifra Law, and he is a gaming law expert. Jeff, I don't know you well enough to say you're my favorite, but I'm sure you're...
I was hoping.
All right, so Arthur, tell us about this complaint and what it's all about.
You know what Yogi said, deja vu all over again. Do you remember when Michael Tyson fought Evander Holyfield, and I think it was in the third round, decided to bite his ear off?
It's hard to forget that.
Well, I thought it was wonderful. I immediately called up my favorite all-time world-class class action lawyer and teasingly said, Mel, there's a class action here. It's a consumer fraud. And within 24 hours, there were three class actions brought. None of them went anywhere. Now we have two over this Pacquiao business. And it just reminds me of what happened years ago.
So what are the two cases about, Arthur?
The two cases are saying, in effect, it's a misrepresentation. You promised us a clean fight according to the rules, and you failed to disclose. In other words, you made a misrepresentation by omission. You didn't tell us that one of the fighters was incapacitated. So that's misrepresentation. It's fraud. It's a failure to disclose. And the other theory is, look, this violates the consumer protection law. I'm a consumer. I paid $99, or I bought a ticket, or I bet on the fight. That last group I have real doubts about. And you frauded me.
And it's not just about, it's not just against Manny Pacquiao, it's also the promoters and the cable companies, isn't that correct?
That's right. If you put the Chicago suit together with the Nevada suit, it's the classic notion of sue everything that moves. So they've got it covered. Keep in mind, there are different groups here. The ticket buyers, that's one group. The pay-per-view people, that's a second group. And the bettors, that's a third group. The Chicago case, I think, is only against the pay-per-view people.
Jeff, there seems to be in these lawsuits something about how Pacquiao filled out a form for the Nevada Athletic Commission and didn't disclose the injury. Can you explain what that's all about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, in order to protect the contestants, the Nevada Commission, and that would be Mayweather and Pacquiao, requires any injuries to be disclosed to the commission in advance of the bout. And the argument here is that when Pacquiao filled it out and was asked the question about injuries, he answered none or no. The Nevada case is arguing that that created a misrepresentation because, in fact, he required a cortisone shot in his shoulder shortly before the bout, or at least requested one. And as a result, that was a misrepresentation which people relied on. In other words, they relied on the notion that he had no injuries. And so this case is seeking damages on account of their reliance on his misrepresentation. The problem, of course, with that argument is that the form that was filed with the Nevada Athletic Commission was not released to the public until after the match. So clearly no one could have possibly relied on any so-called misrepresentation he made in that form, if it even was a misrepresentation.
And Arthur, he is represented by well-known California entertainment lawyer Daniel Petrocelli, and who says that there are documents, and in fact, on that document, Manny Pacquiao wrote all the drugs he was on, and there was one that was going to be used to treat his shoulder, which it had been disclosed to the Anti-Doping Association, and they didn't let him use that. Doesn't that show that he's got an injury if he's asking to use drugs?
Yes, 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 it does, and Petrocelli is one of the best. But you have issues here, such as the timing of the form, and as you just heard, no one relied on the form, and you have potential intervening factors. You have the Nevada Commission saying, get off the drug, you can't use it, no shot, and that's going to pose some difficulties for the plaintiffs, because if there's an intervening cause, they weren't hurt by Pacquiao. They may have been hurt by the commission. And did the commission have a duty to disclose? In other words, did Pacquiao's duty to disclose pass to the commission once the commission decided he couldn't stay on that painkiller or he couldn't get the cortisone shot?
Right, that's what I mean. The commission is looking into this and into the paperwork, but from everything that went on, including the U.S. Doping Agency, and they're asking the commission to allow him to use this this anti-inflammatory drug, I believe it was. Doesn't it show that the commission had to know something?
Yes. And as I think will be an issue, if the commission knew, didn't the duty to disclose to the general public move to the commission and away from Pacquiao, which would make it harder for the plaintiffs to prove damages?
Well, you know, one thing that's interesting about this form is that it says that, and it's signed by Pacquiao, presumably, it says, I hereby swear under penalty of perjury that the above information is true and correct. Jeff, could Pacquiao face any criminal or athletic sanctions as a result of having filled out the form if it's found that it's untruthful?
Well, I mean, sure, there is talk of a so-called investigation underway regarding that precise issue. It is a felony in Nevada to lie on that form. I just want to discuss, you know, real quick, two interesting issues there. First of all, no one has been discussing Mayweather's form. I mean, Mayweather, and there's an interesting aspect of Mayweather's form, which no one has seen because it hasn't been publicly released, but Mayweather had, for the days leading up to the event, claimed that both his arms and his hands and his lips were injured. So, you know, it'd be kind of interesting maybe to ask Professor Miller, like, what's the impact of the fact that here's Mayweather saying he's injured? We don't know what he said on his form. He may have said he's not, but he's publicly told everyone he was. Most of the money was spent on Mayweather. Most of the money was bet on Mayweather. And here he's telling the whole public that he's injured. That doesn't seem to have stopped anyone. That seems to go to the materiality of what they're claiming was the misrepresentation by Pacquiao. And I think no one's really talking about that issue yet.
Manny Pacquiao went from what was called the fight of the century with Floyd Mayweather to fight in a federal court. Two boxing fans want $5 million in a class action claiming that ticket buyers, pay-per-view buyers, and bettors were cheated because Pacquiao concealed he had a bad shoulder. But promoter Bob Arum, Mayweather, and Pacquiao say fighting injured is part of the game.
We were disappointed when in the third round the injury kicked up again, but this is always the case with sports.
Both of my arms was injured, both of my hands was injured, but like I said before, I will always find a way to win.
It's part of the game. I mean, I don't want to make alibis or, you know, complain anything about that.
And we have been talking to University Professor Arthur Miller of NYU Law School, also the Dean of the NYU Sports Institute and a most distinguished legal scholar, and Jeff Ifra. He's the founding partner at Ifra Law, and he is a legal gaming expert. Before the break, Arthur, Jeff posed a question, and we just heard Floyd Mayweather said, "I had two injured arms or hands," so does that matter? Does the public have to know that?
Well, I think any sports fan knows that the coaches, or the promoters in this case, never tell the truth about injuries. You ask the coach of the New England Patriots how Tom Brady is feeling on the Friday before a Sunday game, and you'll get gibberish. So there is something to the notion that in the culture of sports and in the culture of boxing, these things are not really reliable, they're not disclosed. But Jeff made an interesting point before the break. If, in point of fact, Mayweather was injured, it creates a very interesting question down the line. If fans of all descriptions were cheated, if the fight wasn't worth $99, or the ticket wasn't worth $40,000, or the bet shouldn't have been made, what is the causation of that injury? Was it Pacquiao's shoulder or Mayweather's hands? After all, we all know in retrospect the fight was a dud. It was boring.
Tell what you think, really, Arthur.
3 hours. He's watching the fight at 9 o'clock in the evening, and he can't even stay awake. What caused the injury? What caused it?
Well, you could make the argument, right, that every Mayweather fight is boring because he's very defensive in the way that he approaches these things. So is that the causation? Should no one ever pay that much for a Mayweather fight, Arthur?
Well, you see, you're playing into my hands in a sense.
That's what I was trying to do, Arthur.
Oh, you're so kind. You're so kind. Let's face it. There are so many questions left unanswered, and if you read the Nevada complaint, it's all on information and belief, which is lawyer jargon for, you know, I'm not sure, but maybe this happened and maybe that happened. It may well be that at least the Nevada case, which is the complaint I read, they're proceeding on spit. And it's going to take a while for the facts to unravel. Who knew what when?
Well, you know, the allegations in the other case, the one that's filed in Illinois and includes all the cable companies, are a lot more detailed, Jeff. And they involve, some specific allegations that Mayweather, Pacquiao, the promoters, the cable companies all knew well before this fight that Pacquiao was injured, and then they deliberately promoted it as though he was not. Does that case maybe have some more meat to it?
Listen, it's all going to come down to a lot of what Professor Miller just said, and it's also going to come down to the nature of what that promotion was. I mean, we defend so-called deceptive advertising cases all the time. They're generally brought by both attorney generals, also by the FTC that monitors advertisements, and also by the public. But in those cases, you normally have intense, excruciating detail as to what the promises were. I think that in this particular case, I don't think any federal judge is going to agree that the so-called promotional activity around this bout created some sort of promise that Pacquiao was at the height of his fitness. I don't know how anyone could promise, or anyone for that matter, let's look at the other side from the consumer perspective, how could anyone possibly believe in the perfection of a pro athlete's pregame fitness? That's just not something that anyone could possibly accept as 100% credible. There is no athlete who has a perfect pregame fitness stature. That just doesn't happen, and it's silly to rely on it. And you know, Professor Miller at the beginning, at the top of the hour, talked about this third group of people who are the bettors. It's very interesting, and it's interesting to say that, he was a little skeptical about whether, how could they succeed. But, a lot of this kind of stuff is the daily kind of hardship that bettors go through, or if you talk about fantasy sports, this is stuff that people follow on a fantasy level. You monitor injuries. The NFL, they may not tell you on Friday how Brady's feeling, but, you know, normally on the Thursday or at least sometime before that game, you do get a league-wide report. And, you know, as sports betting perhaps gets more regulated, maybe we can introduce more regulation to this notion if consumers want to rely on the fitness of an athlete before they bet. But that's not now. That's not this market.
Exactly.
And I don't think anyone should have possibly believed that that was the case when they paid whatever they paid to watch the game on TV.
And then, you know, if you have horse racing, are we going to start asking, you know, how's the horse feeling today?
Got to talk to the horse. But that's a good point. One of the arguments for legalizing gambling on sporting events is then you can regulate the information flow available to the bettors, the people, about things like injuries. But right now, it just isn't realistic. This doesn't mean that the plaintiffs are going to lose. Keep in mind that first, they've got to fight the question of whether this is a legitimate class or not, and then they've got to put on proof. But it will go, if it goes at all, before a jury. And a Nevada jury of 12 or 6 could come up with virtually anything.
Especially if they're bettors, they could say, we lose. Okay. Now, Arthur, we were talking about Dan Petrocelli, who is a top lawyer for entertainment. And he said that there are documents that explicitly show the medications that Pacquiao was using to treat his shoulder. It was fully disclosed with the doping commission, which they contracted. And he said Pacquiao was examined by doctors of the commission before the fight and proven to be physically able, but re-injured his shoulder during the bout. And the fact that the public was unaware of his original injury is immaterial. This is a frivolous lawsuit, and we're confident it will be dismissed.
And what would you expect Dan to say?
I'm just asking you about his argument here.
But he's not writing checks today. No, but his point is valid. And you heard it a few minutes ago. Players in professional sports always play injured. And they typically perform adequately or superbly, but occasionally the injury reappears in the middle of the game. That's not something that is predictable, that is not something that they know about or can swear won't happen. It's sort of in the name of sports. It happens to baseball players, the pitcher whose arm goes out in the third inning. It happens to football players. And since you love them so much, June, it even happens to horses.
I do. So, finally, suppose that we look at the sheet that Manny Pacquiao filled out, and there are, you know, in handwriting, there's all these little drugs. And how do we know that he understood everything, since English is not his first language, and you can see, you know, he's not always comprehensive of what's happening? And how do we know that there wasn't someone over his shoulder saying, okay, right, you know, these are the four drugs, and then you just checked no on everything else?
Well, I think that's why they've added additional defendants, because they're making that exact allegation in the Nevada case.
That's right. The truth is, you don't know.
Right.
We don't know.
But you know, if I could just add one, you know, just one point, you know, the commission chairman, Francisco Aguilar, is actually denying in response to what Petrocelli said, which, of course, you might expect him to, although you might expect him to just be neutral on this whole mess. But he's actually claiming that the commission was not aware and was not informed, of all the.
Then I think Pacquiao would have had the shot if the commission didn't stop them. But As we all said, now we don't know yet. And thank you so much, Arthur Miller, as always. Thank you for being on Bloomberg Law. And Jeff Ifra, thank you for being here as well. And Michael, let's take a look at some of the top stories on BloombergLaw.com.
U.S. soccer moms missed on their first shot at holding sports organizing bodies to account for concussion-related injuries. U.S. District Judge Phyllis Hamilton in Oakland, California, said today she had grave concerns about inconsistencies, contradictions, and a lack of clarity in the complaint against FIFA, soccer's international governing federation, and five U.S. soccer organizing bodies. She said she may allow the lawyers to try again with an amended complaint.
A lawyer for New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's administration met sharp questioning from the state's highest court after saying a law mandating minimum annual payments to state pension funds is simply unsustainable.
You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 a.m. and 103.7 FM HD2, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119.